Welcome to Signs of Life, exploring survival of consciousness, brought to you by the Forever Family Foundation on the web at www.foreverfamilyfoundation.org.
I can feel you like an ocean that won't seem to let me go.
Welcome to Signs of Life, brought to you by Forever Family Foundation with our host, Bob Ginsberg. I'm Fran Ginsberg, and our show tonight is sponsored by the Winbridge Institute for Applied Research in Human Potential, and they can be found on the web at winbridge.org. Our guest tonight is John White, and if you have a question, comment, or would like to talk to our guest, the toll-free number here is 888-627-6008. Let's start the evening off with a few updates on Forever Family Foundation events and happenings. We want to remind all of our listeners to check the events page on our website regularly for all information on our events and announcements, and that's at foreverfamilyfoundation.org. And all reservations can be made online. We have one free meeting left for the month of August, and that's our Afterlife Discussion Group on August 27th in Crown Point, Indiana, and that will meet at 2:30 p.m. Our next webinar of the year is The Telepathy Project with Dr. Diane Hennessy Powell on September 13th at 9 p.m. Eastern. Our annual grief retreat last month was filled to capacity. For those who may have been closed out of this great annual retreat, do not fear, as we've arranged for a winter retreat in warm and beautiful Florida this coming January 5th through 7th, 2018. Be one of only 50 guests who come from across the globe to spend an all-inclusive weekend featuring spirit communication with Forever Family Foundation certified mediums Joseph Scheel, Janet Nohavik, and Doreen Malloy, who will be working alongside Dr. Mo Hanna and the rest of our professional staff. The weekend also includes a variety of activities and small breakout workshops, all designed to heal. We know January seems far away, however, registration for this weekend has already been brisk. Our Oceanside New York event is August 25th, visitation rights, and that is filled. And just to let you know, that's being conducted by Forever Family Foundation certified medium Lynn LeClaire. We do, however, have a fabulous New York event set for Sunday, October 29th. The Afterlife Luncheon is a five-hour event that includes a scrumptious lunch. Join us as New York Times bestselling author Leslie Kane, author of Surviving Death, a journalist investigates evidence for an afterlife. She will be joined by extraordinary medium Laura Lynn Jackson, author of her New York Times bestseller, The Light Between Us, Stories from Heaven, Lessons for the Living. It will be a compelling afternoon of learning and spirit communication. Reservations for this event have been steady, so you might want to reserve your seat soon if you are thinking of attending. Our Holidays Pass raffle is up and running, so please help us out and buy some raffles, lots of raffles, to win as many as five readings with Forever Family Foundation certified mediums Renata Santarelli, Renee Buck, Eliza Ray, Catherine Nadal, and Neil Zapowski. It's only $5 to enter. And please, please, please help us keep all of our programs going by visiting our website and clicking on the donation button. It's on every single page. Because of the work we do not receive the grants and funding that all other traditional not-for-profits enjoy. You can also help us pay our bills by participating in iGive.com, Amazon.com, Amazon Smile, and great nonprofits. Lastly, if you are a business interested in advertising on our show, please contact us via email at businessmembership@foreverfamilyfoundation.org. Bob?
And as you mentioned, tonight we do have a great guest. His latest book is called The Psychic and the Spiritual. So what we're going to do is go to a quick break, and when we come back, we'll have John White with us, and we'll get rolling. So stay with us. We'll be back in a few.
Does consciousness survive death? Can technology be used to interact with the deceased? Can hearing from the dead heal the living? At the Wind Bridge Institute, we are working to answer these and similar questions. Through our studies with certified research mediums, we are examining psychic abilities and communication with the other side, offering insights into the limitless nature of consciousness and unlocking the possibilities of our bodies, minds, and spirits. Be a part of it. Become a Wind Bridge member today. Please visit www.windbridge.org to learn more. The Camlack Center is putting birth and death back together again. Aimed at changing the way we look at death, the Camlack Center was founded in 2002 as a publishing company and teaching center. When we know that there is nothing but life, we realize that birth and death are events in time and space. Our grief can open us to other dimensions of reality and allow us to experience our loved ones who are no longer in the physical body. Our events and products are based on personal experiences of survival of consciousness after physical death and decades of research into how death has influenced the development of our consciousness. Visit www.camlack.com, that's K-A-M-L-A-K.com, for articles, videos, books, and more to help you cope with the loss of a loved one.
Imagine seeing spirits are spontaneously speaking indigenous Brazilian rainforest languages. Janet Mayer, a psychic medium, does just that. In her new book, Spirits, They Are Present, she opens the door to her private life in order to share her compelling, fearful, and at times humorous journey, providing evidence that when we die, we simply make a transition to another life. Spirits, They Are Present, available now at www.janetmayer.net, Amazon, and other online booksellers. Order your copy today.
I would like to introduce you to the Forever Family Foundation, a nonprofit organization whose mission is to provide a forum where individuals and families who have suffered the loss of a loved one can turn for support, information, and hope. We believe in the continuity of the family, even though a member has left the physical world. The Forever Family Foundation is a joint effort of scientists, research mediums, and interested people who support the premise that life does not end with physical death. We wish to prove that the bond of the family cannot be broken even by death. We invite anyone who's trying to cope with the loss of a loved one to contact the Forever Family Foundation at 631-425-7707. That's 631-425-7707. Or you can find us on the web at foreverfamilyfoundation.org. After-death communication is an accepted occurrence in many cultures throughout the world. But for many others, proof of this phenomenon is essential. And research shows that contact helps move people through loss and grief. The Sign Registry allows people to register signs that they, after passing, plan on communicating to specific loved ones. Contact the Forever Family Foundation at foreverfamilyfoundation.org or go directly to thesignregistry.com.
Welcome back to Signs of Life, brought to you by the Forever Family Foundation.
Those just tuning in, our guest tonight is John White. Our sponsor is the Windbridge Institute for Applied Research in Human Potential, and they could be found on the web at windbridge.org. Bob?
And John White is an author and educator in the fields of consciousness research and higher human development. He's been the director of education for the Institute of Noetic Science and president of Alpha Logics, a school for self-directed growth in mind, body, and spirit. John has published 18 books. His writing has appeared in such publications as Reader's Digest, the New York Times, the Wall Street Journal, Esquire, and many other publications. He's a lecturer and a seminar leader. He's appeared at numerous colleges, universities, and public organizations. And he's also had many TV and radio appearances. And you could learn more about John and his work at the website AmericanSpiritPress.com. Welcome to the show.
Thank you, Bob. Happy to be here.
And, you know, I was instantly attracted to the title of your latest book, The Psychic and the Spiritual, because I know even in our own work, I find that the majority of people, when you talk about psychic phenomena, they automatically put it in the category of the spirituality. And that, I always thought, was a mistake. And from reading your book, so do you. So could you please explain the difference between psychic phenomena and spirituality, why one is not necessarily the same as the other?
Sure. Happy to try, at least.
Yeah.
Psychic and spiritual phenomena have a hierarchical relationship. Spirituality is senior to psychic phenomena. Psychic powers are real, but they're junior, so to speak, in rank to true spirituality. True spirituality is centered in the heart and is expressed primarily as love, unconditional love for all creation. That's not the same thing as psychic abilities to read the past or predict the future, which are real, but not necessarily indicative of the person, him or herself, being unconditional love or recognizing the presence of God in all things and all things in the presence of God. So, being psychic is real, but it's not the same thing as being spiritual. Being spiritual is placing God at the center of yourself. Psychics and psychic phenomena all too often are involved in self-aggrandizement or manipulating circumstances for personal gain rather than selflessly helping others on the basis of unconditional love.
Yeah, well, that's a good explanation, and I'm glad you made it. I know that I've noticed that mediums, and again, when we talk about mediums, there's a great many of them that can't do what they say they can, but certainly some can. But what's interesting is that sometimes even very evidential mediums, when you get to know them, there's not a large percentage of them, but some of them are not very nice people. You know, it's clear they're not speaking from the heart. They don't have the compassion, and yet they still have this telepathic ability to communicate with the dead. So it goes along with what you've just described. You know, just because you can do it or you can communicate telepathically doesn't mean that you're doing it for the right reasons.
Yes.
Yeah.
And it's important. Hey, can you hear me, Bob?
Sure.
Oh, okay. In everything we do in life, we should try to do the right thing for the right reasons. Now, sometimes people may do the right thing, but not necessarily for the right reasons. And that's one of the great distinctions between psychic and spiritual.
Mm. Now, you suggest, John, a fifth force in nature that may explain paranormal phenomena. By a fifth force, are you referring to, you know, a type of energy that facilitates the psychic activity?
Yes, I am. And matter of fact, in one of my earlier books called The Physics of Paranormal Phenomena, I have a listing of more than 50 different names or terms for what I call the the fifth force, psychic energy, or that which allows people to perform paranormal phenomena. Now, there's the term the fifth force is also used in mainstream physics and science, but that's not what I'm talking about. I'm talking about a very ancient recognition in all cultures around the world that there is something beyond the physical, and we can tap into that, we can control it, we can use it in a variety of ways, but of course it should be used in the best possible way, which is for spiritual purposes.
Hmm. But so when we're talking about this fifth force, would that be what some of the other cultures refer to, like chi or prana? Are those
exactly.
other?
Exactly.
Yeah. Okay.
There are many names in many cultures for the fifth force, but all of them come down to basically being a senior force to the four known physical forces that science recognizes. When I say senior, I mean higher than or more fundamental than.
Right. And I know Jung used to refer to the collective unconscious. How would you define the collective unconscious?
All right. We'll start with the fifth force, or that form of energy which is associated with mind. Now, the idea of the collective unconscious is that it reflects human mentality, human thought and action over long periods of time in a very fundamental way that applies to all people. So we can say this: if energy is neither created nor destroyed, that is to say, it's fundamental, it's primary, and is intimately associated with our own minds, how we use them, how we employ them, then the collective unconscious, well, before I get there, then we can say that energy is neither created nor destroyed. It simply exists in a form which can be recognized and utilized beyond the four forces. And the totality of human activity throughout the ages is what gives special character to what Jung called the collective unconscious. That is to say, the energy associated with mind isn't, once the thought involved is over, the energy itself doesn't dissolve or go away. It remains and tends to collect or coalesce into what we can call fields of mind fields. And those mind fields over time collect into a still greater form, which we can call thought fields. The fields of thought produced by human activity over long time is what constitutes what Jung called the collective unconscious. So that even though I'm in one culture speaking one language and you're in another culture speaking a different language, there is something beyond the language and beyond the culture which is universal, which each of us can recognize and experience. Oftentimes, most often, in dreams or altered states of consciousness. But those fields of mind tend to take on a character characteristic form. And in Jung's psychology, at least, it would be known as the wise old man, the old crone, the trickster, various images that are universal, appearing in, especially in the dreams and meditational imagery of people around the world. They may have a different name in their particular language for those, but Jung gave them his terminology, and we can find it in cultures around the world.
So theoretically, all of our thoughts continue as energy. So all the thoughts that have ever been are stored in these information fields. So I guess we have access to these information fields in varying degrees at different times. You mentioned maybe through dreams, but how about in our daily activities? Do we extract information, do you think, from these information fields or thought forms?
I think we do. It's something that I'm not able to exactly pinpoint, but with our just everyday lives, our everyday consciousness, there's nevertheless occasions where we have intuition, where we have gut feelings, where something very profound seems to emerge into our awareness quite unexpectedly and very usefully. That would be an example of the collective unconscious in everyday life.
Right. To switch gears a little bit, on the subject of apparitions, I mean, throughout the ages, people report, you know, seeing apparitions, and they're thought to be physical manifestations of those who were once in the physical but are deceased. Do you think that we sometimes have visitations from those, you know, who were never embodied? In other words, you know, higher life forms?
Good question, and my answer is yes. Now, apparitions, as you and I would ordinarily refer to them, appear most often in a crisis situation or to accomplish a mission, and then disappear. Their mission accomplished, there's no need for them to hang around. But those are nevertheless human forms. The collective understanding of the human species over time and across culture is that there are also higher forms of life native to Earth, but not in the physical realm. Their native state is of a higher vibration, so to speak, or plane of consciousness. That's their native condition, but they have the capacity of emerging into our everyday three-dimensional space-time for whatever their purpose may be. Generally, it's a benevolent purpose. So, yes, these forms, these beings, can emerge. Now, the best known in Western culture would be angels. But the same thing applies in Eastern culture, where the equivalent term for an angel is a deva, D-E-V-A, meaning, in both cases, a being of light, not a physical being, never was a physical being at any time. Its native state was created in a higher plane of existence, but they can interact with us for purposes, benevolent purposes, of guiding us along our own spiritual path and higher evolution.
I know you also write about we all have a higher self. I guess that term could also be called a soul. And as you point out, there's a paradox. You know, when we search deep within ourselves, we actually become transpersonal. So, I mean, do you think that maybe that's our purpose here in life, to discover that who we are has nothing to do with our physical bodies?
I wouldn't put it quite that way, but I'll say this. The purpose of human life, both individually and collectively, is to attain enlightenment. Now, enlightenment means seeing God in all things and all things in God, putting God at the center of ourselves rather than some incomplete or confused or self-serving identity. Enlightenment doesn't turn its back on the physical. It just sees it in its proper context, which is to say it's the junior level, so to speak, to the more senior levels, soul and spirit, and enlightenment itself. So I personally welcome having the chance to live in a body, but I also am trying to live in such a way as to ultimately go beyond the body and to become a being of light, so that enlightenment, the process of attaining enlightenment itself in the final stage, becomes actually becoming light, becoming a being of light.
So, do you think it's possible for those of us embodied in the physical world to become enlightened in this sort of lower, denser universe without having the freedom of shedding the body in another realm? Are there enlightened beings that walk among us?
Oh, absolutely. All spiritual traditions from around the world are agreed on that. It is possible to attain enlightenment in the physical body. Now, that doesn't necessarily mean the final stage of enlightenment, at least as I have come to understand the process through reading, research, and personal experience. Enlightenment itself is a process of several stages, the final stage of which is attaining the light body, becoming a being of light. But prior to that, many ordinary human beings, such as you and me, have the capacity, and many have activated that capacity to grow to a higher state of consciousness, a higher state of being, while still in the body.
I think it's probably a misconception that a lot of people have, is that after we physically die, assuming that we, walk through the door to the next realm, that we instantly achieve this enlightened state. But if you believe all the channeled reports and some of the NDE accounts and so forth, I mean, that's not necessarily the case. I mean, there's probably a lot of room for growth in these other realms to achieve the state of enlightenment. Would you agree with that?
Absolutely.
Yeah.
In other words, when we die, we simply wake up dead in the afterlife with the exact same state of consciousness we had while still living in this life. And so the point of human life is to expand and refine and deepen our consciousness so that when we die and wake up dead, so to speak, on the other side, we have a much greater understanding of the afterlife and a much greater capacity to operate in it for the good of others. Mm-hmm. Some people die and have a relatively undeveloped consciousness or soul or spirit, and what happens when they wake up on the other side is that they're confused, they're unhappy, they're perhaps even frightened or just don't know what's going on. And others in that condition who are of a higher state of awareness may reach out and try to help them, but there's still a question of to what extent a so-called confused soul can be helped by others. And the process seems to involve reincarnation for such people so that they can return to the earth plane and learn more clearly with greater refinement and understanding that which they did not learn during the previous life.
So it seems that it's logical to assume that the way in which we live our physical life has a direct bearing on our afterlife. I mean, we could better prepare ourselves, in a sense, by living a life of that includes more compassion and love, and perhaps we're at a better starting point than somebody that does not.
Absolutely. I agree completely. There's a profound wish in each of us to attain enlightenment, but it's sort of clouded over in many people. They don't recognize the profound influence that is at the center of their own existence, and so they diffuse their minds and their actions pursuing things which really don't enhance their understanding or assist them in the journey to enlightenment. So if they die in that state, they're going to wake up in the afterlife with the same problems in mind, the same fears, the same misdirected efforts and interests.
Right.
So enlightenment not only can be attained in this lifetime, but should be. That doesn't mean it always occurs, but spiritual traditions tell us that we can attain enlightenment in this lifetime. We don't have to settle for an existence on the wheel of death and rebirth and reincarnation. We can go straight up, so to speak, to the source of all existence, recognize that, live as it, and that is another way of saying attaining enlightenment in this lifetime. And it's not just a psychological condition, it has its behavioral condition as well, so that an enlightened being is living for others, not for him or herself, and is trying to help those others to awaken to the same state of God realization, which is another term for enlightenment, that those beings have.
Well, very, very insightful answers, and we have a lot more to talk about. We have to go to a break. We have been talking with John White, his latest book, and he's written 18 of them. 18 at the last count, right, John? Did I miss one?
Yes.
This book is The Psychic and the Spiritual, What's the Difference? And you can also find more by visiting John's website, AmericanSpiritPress.com. Stay with us. We'll be back in a few minutes.
Does consciousness survive death? Can technology be used to interact with the deceased? Can hearing from the dead heal the living? At the Windbridge Institute, we are working to answer these and similar questions. Through our studies with certified research mediums, we are examining psychic abilities and communication with the other side, offering insights into the limitless nature of consciousness and unlocking the possibilities of our bodies, minds, and spirits. Be a part of it. Become a Windbridge member today. Please visit www.windbridge.org to learn more. The CAMLAC Center is putting birth and death back together again. Aimed at changing the way we look at death, the CAMLAC Center was founded in 2002 as a publishing company and teaching center. When we know that there is nothing but life, we realize that birth and death are events in time and space. Our grief can open us to other dimensions of reality and allow us to experience our loved ones who are no longer in the physical body. Our events and products are based on personal experiences of survival of consciousness after physical death and decades of research into how death has influenced the development of our consciousness. Visit www.camlac.com, that's K-A-M-L-A-K.com, for articles, videos, books, and more to help you cope with the loss of a loved one.
When grieving the loss of a loved one, sometimes a hug is just what you need. Hugs from Heaven are lightly weighted shoulder wraps that are made from the fabric of your loved one's clothing. Your clothing can also be made into memory pillows and sachets. Each Hugs from Heaven is handmade with loving care and is as unique as your loved one's spirit. Visit us at hugsfromheaven.com. That's Hugs, spelled with a Z, from heaven.com. Who couldn't use a hug?
I would like to introduce you to the Forever Family Foundation, a nonprofit organization whose mission is to provide support for families who have suffered the loss of a loved one. We believe in the continuity of the family, even though a member has left the physical world. We invite anyone who's trying to cope with the loss of a loved one to contact the Forever Family Foundation at 631-425-7707 or on the web at foreverfamilyfoundation.org. For years, people have been reporting communication from those no longer in our physical world. Historically, science and religion have taught us to ignore such messages. Yet, there is now substantial scientific evidence to the contrary. In response to this, the Forever Family Foundation has developed a sign registry to demonstrate the existence of this other dimension. On our website, people can register signs that they, after passing, plan on communicating to a specific loved one. Upon the registrant's passing, the stored information can be verified by the recipient of these signs. Participants will be taking part not only in a grand scientific experiment, but in providing the greatest gift of all, the knowledge that we survive our physical death. For more information, contact the Forever Family Foundation at 631-425-7707, or you can find us on the web at foreverfamilyfoundation.org. Or to register a sign, go directly to thesignregistry.com.
Welcome back to Signs of Life, brought to you by the Forever Family Foundation.
If you're just tuning in, our guest tonight is John White. Our sponsor is the Winbridge Institute for Applied Research in Human Potential, and they could be found on the web at winbridge.org. Bob?
And we're back with John White. As Fran mentioned, the book, The Psychic and the Spiritual, What is the Difference? John, in the book, you wrote something that I jotted down. You wrote, control is a personal experience. Self-surrender is a transpersonal experience. Can you elaborate on that a bit?
Yes. Control of psychic abilities is not the real issue as far as I'm concerned. The real issue is what do you apply those abilities for, and what do you intend for them. So some psychics, I'll call them super psychics, may nevertheless not have a very high value system in place, and so they're using their psychic abilities for personal aggrandizement, self-glorification, even personal gain, but to go beyond the psychic is to transcend the ego and the self-centeredness, which is the source of all human suffering and confusion, so that we become God-centered. And in that state of God-centeredness, we transcend all the confusion, the hurt, and the perennial display of man's inhumanity to man, whether it's by naked force or by psychic abilities. They can still be misused. But if you're truly centered in God, God-centered, God-realized, then whatever your abilities may be, psychic or otherwise, they will be applied for in beneficial ways, not harmful ways.
And another thing I wanted to ask you, I remember from reading the book that years ago when you were 14 years old, which was well before the term near-death experience was coined, I mean, you had such an experience, and now, as you look back upon the experience, you recognize the gift of nearly dying. So some people might not consider that to be a gift. So why do you consider it to be a gift of nearly dying?
Well, it's not only me, but many, many, many near-death experiencers, looking back on their near-death experience, say, wow, now I see things in a radically different way. I understand in a much deeper, purer way what life is all about. And that was the hidden gift, so to speak, of nearly dying in a car crash or suicide attempt or something like that. So we can say that the near-death experience is a blessing in disguise. Most near-death experiencers regard it that way. In my own case, I didn't have a fully developed near-death experience. I didn't see beings of light, or I didn't go down a tunnel. But I did have a profound sense of peace, serenity, transcendence of the confusion and hurt of ordinary life. That was a deep recognition for me, not the ultimate, of course. I was only 14 years old, and so I had a partial understanding, not that I'm omniscient now, incidentally, but nearly dying could be called a crash course in spirituality. Mm. And I make a play on words with the phrase NDE, meaning near-death experience, also meaning nearly done with evolution. That is
right.
To say, we are individually and collectively as a species evolving to a higher state of being. And the near-death experience is a way to understand more deeply what life is all about. It may start off in seemingly tragic experiences of automobile accident, suicide, heart failure, whatever it might be, but it's not final. And so since the person recovers from that experience of nearly dying, he or she returns to life with a profoundly altered sense of who they are, why they're here, and where they're going.
Hmm. You're a perfect person to ask this next question, because you have roots in both the scientific world and the spiritual world. And the question would be, do you think it's important when somebody is contemplating whether or not there's an afterlife, that they develop a rational belief that's based on evidence or a personal experience, as opposed to just simply blind faith.
And as with religious faith,
right,
it's important to move from initial faith, which we can call blind faith, to a deeper understanding of the nature of faith, so that it becomes faith formed by experience, by reason, reinforced by reason. And St. Peter, in one of his epistles, said, to your faith add virtue, to your virtue add good works, to your good works add knowledge. If you want to just compress that statement into one easily remembered thing, it's this: to your faith add knowledge. Blind faith may be disappointing because it doesn't always work out according to your naive juvenile belief about the supernatural or God or heaven or what have you. So it's important to continue growing spiritually in faith, but grounding your faith to the extent that you can in reason, research, and science, and personal experience, of course, meaning through prayer, meditation, other psychotechnologies, you explore the afterworlds, the afterlife and higher worlds, and that helps to deepen your faith, and it also helps you to be of service to others.
Yeah, and I think for those who are fortunate to have a deep personal experience, that trumps everything. I mean, it takes the place of all the reading and all the research and all of the preaching. I mean, once you've had a personal experience, such as an NDE or some sort of a vision or a dream visit, I think that you're far better off than your friends that don't.
I agree with you, but in a sense, that's only the beginning of your spiritual journey. Having truly awakened to the reality of spirit, now there is a vast universe calling us to explore, to understand better, in order to develop our own capacity for helping others.
Yeah. Well, you know, it's unfortunate that usually, I shouldn't say usually, but very often trauma, either physical or mental trauma or a loss of somebody, is the trigger for people to start on that search for meaning and purpose. It would be wonderful if it didn't take that, you know? Maybe we're moving towards that.
Well, from my perspective, Bob, all humanity is moving toward one great reunion, so to speak, which is awakening to the source of our own existence and seeing that despite the appearance of differences between you and me of a physical or even a mental state or characteristics, beyond that there is the spirit, which is the creative source of all existence. And our purpose here on life on Earth is to realize that spirit as the source of everything we know, do, and feel, including our relationships with others and our role as citizens in a society.
So you're optimistic about our future in that respect? Are we becoming more spiritual?
Yes, I am. I am writing a book now called Enlightenment 101, which attempts to lay out the evolutionary path ahead of us from from our present state. And I'm convinced on the basis of my reason, my research, and my personal experience that there is a greater condition awaiting us. Now, it's not going to happen overnight, and that doesn't mean it's going to happen to everyone, but over such a long haul as we've already made, some 6 million years since our proto-human ancestors first stood upright on the African plain to today, that's a breathtaking recognition of a divine plan behind what we call human evolution. So I'm convinced that it will continue to even higher states of being, and I'm presently mapping out as best I can the road to those states.
And we look forward to seeing that roadmap. So I'm sure I'll hope you come back and join us again after that book comes out.
And me too.
I know we're running out of time, and this may be too long of a question to ask you, but I know you write a bit about synchronicity in your books, and I mean, do you think that synchronicity is really part of a greater design?
Oh, absolutely, because synchronicity shows the existence of a state or a condition which is beyond ordinary 3D physical experience, but it's certainly not ultimate. We're still experiencing synchronicity as separate beings, and I'm talking about going beyond a state of separation to a deep sense of unity.
Well, I appreciate that answer. Mr. White, you're a very wise man, and we really appreciate your being with us. Now, again, the book we're talking about is The Psychic and the Spiritual, What is the Difference? John White, the author of 18 books, we await his 19th, and I urge you to go on AmericanSpiritPress.com. And there's also an Amazon link to his current book, The Psychic and the Spiritual, on our website. John, thank you so much again for being with us. Have a good evening, and we hope to talk to you again real soon.
Thank you, Bob. It's really been a pleasure to talk with you and your audience.
Thank you. Have a good evening.
Bye.
We now ask our listeners to please join us in our Healing Energy Circle prayer. May the universe create a channel of healing energy from our participating listeners, sending that energy to those who are in need of recovery of the physical body, spirit, and mind, as we visualize the healing light upon Linda Ellis, Eddie Coons, Sandy Rabel, Ed O'Brien, Matt Mello, Tina Young, Evelyn Ingram, Cynthia Post, Helen Montalto, Michael Tim, David Haith, Glenna Irwin, Marianne Pierschka, Stanley Mullen, Donna Mello, James Rafferty, Diana Archangel, Isabel Ginsberg, Vince Mattia, Lauren Ramnath, Rich LeBly, Veronica James, Alex Hanna, and Catherine Pye. Now let us as one consciousness give our energy of loving thought by praying like this. To love one another, to treat others as we would like to be treated, to forgive others and return love for hate, kindness for anger, to spread this feeling to everyone, to a fellow man, as well as the earth and its environment. And now it's time to say,
our loved ones are only a heartbeat away.
And science is going to prove it.
Good night, everyone.